I'm going to talk to you today about the foolishness of man. Right, the foolishness of man. Here, and I'll begin reading in 1 Peter chapter number 2, starting in verse number 13. The Bible says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we are grateful to be in your house today. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for everybody that you brought in here today, Lord. I pray you'll speak to everybody's heart here today, Lord, and I pray you'll use me. Lord, fill me with your Spirit, Lord, and give me boldness and guidance and wisdom here today. And we'll give you the glory for everything that you do in your house here today. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, the following article is from Why Are So Many Standing for Freedom on January 16th of 2025 off of Brother Cloud's website. A recent study found that there was a 422% increase among 18 to 24-year-olds identifying as transgender over the last 10 years. So the question is, why the generational gap and the exponential increase in young Americans identifying as transgender? And here is a few reasons why. Number one, social media and the internet. Okay? The influence of social media and the internet is huge. Okay, it's a big deal. Even traditional media outlets that have embraced the LGBTQ ideology have a profound impact on young people. It's serious, okay? And get this, in example after example, parents say their teenager began believing they were a different gender after spending large amounts of time in their room on the internet alone. All right? Now that's foolishness, right? A parent should never give their child a phone. A parent should never give their child access to the internet, let alone alone in their room. You are opening up everything and anything goes. That is just foolish, okay? Another reason was federal funding. It says the U.S. began funding these programs long before Joe Biden came along. But however, no administration beforehand bankrolled and promoted the ideology more than them. For example, investigative reporting by the Epoch Times found that over the last 3 years, get this, the federal government spent $4.1 billion on LGBTQ programs. Foolishness, right? Foolishness. Right, another reason is this public education. Schools are now pushing gender theory on children as young as preschool. Foolishness. Foolishness, right? And they're even hiding this gender confusion of children from their parents. And as a result, conflicts between parents and schools have become widespread as parents try to stop this. All right? Now there's some laws going into effect now that are going to help this. Amen? And another reason here is the medical field. Against all scientific logic, evidence, and common sense, many doctors and the country's most prestigious medical associations are pushing gender ideology on many patients. Why? It says because of profit, because of money. There was a Daily Wire report that caught some doctors from the pediatric transgender clinic at Vanderbilt University, and they call transgender surgeries big money makers, okay? Right? It's not just a one-and-done thing. Whenever somebody goes under these surgeries, they become a lifelong patient, right? But we can look at that and we can say foolishness, right? Foolishness. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you today about is foolishness. I want to talk to you about some of the foolish things that people do. All right, number one, we foolishly neglect the Word of God. We foolishly neglect the Word of God. If you could turn over to Psalm 119. All right, Psalm 119. And look there, starting in verse number 9. All right, I want you to see here that we foolishly neglect the Word of God. Psalm 119, look there at verse number 9. 9, 10, and 11. The Bible says there, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Hey, let me tell you, the key to living a victorious Christian life is actually quite simple. It's actually quite simple. Do not neglect the Word of God. Okay? Do not neglect the Word of God. Do not go one day without reading and meditating on the Word of God. Do not get up in the morning and start your day and go out of the house without first getting into the Word of God. A quiet time set aside for the Lord. Right? If you got to get up 15 minutes earlier, get up 15 minutes earlier. It'll do you good. All right? But a quiet time set aside, a Bible reading, a prayer before we go out into the battle. Right? Out those doors, it's a battle. We're going to have to be prepared. The power to overcome those battles, the power to overcome those trials is only found in one place. We're only going to get the spiritual weapons that we need from God's Word. In Joshua 1, verse number 8, the Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." That's God's Word we're talking about. We need to be in God's Word day and night. Not put it aside for days at a time. We need to be in His Word every single day. Right? You read your Bible, hey, and you read it the next day. You say, "I didn't know that was in there. I got something new today. I'll learn something." Right? So we know this, right? But we need to make the commitment to hide God's Word in our heart, to memorize the Scripture. That's why we put an emphasis here at Gilead Baptist Church on memorizing Scripture. And each week we have a verse, and sometimes we spend a couple weeks on that verse. But we want to hide God's Word in our heart. Now that word "hide," it means this. It means to store up. It means to hoard or to lay up. When we memorize Scripture, we are storing up ammunition. All right? When I was in the military, we would store up ammunition. Right? We would have ammunition stored up. Right? We as Christians need to store up our ammo by getting in the Word of God. All right? We need to store up ammunition. Why? Because there's a devil out there. He wants to seek you and destroy you. He's walking about seeking who he can devour and destroy. We need to have ammunition to fight him. Right? And when we hide God's Word in our heart, it's always there. Right? It's always there, and you can spit it out. Ephesians chapter 6. Hey, let's turn over there. Let's look there. Ephesians chapter number 6. I want you to see these verses here. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 16 and verse 17. Talking about the Word of God. Not to neglect God's Word. We need to be in God's Word every day. That is our power. Okay, we're not going to get power from Fox News and go out and be able to defeat the devil. We got to have God's Word. God's power comes from His Word. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Hey, who in here goes through the day and you don't have trials come at you? Do you have the devil coming at you, or is it just me? I'm asking, right? I have the devil coming at me all day long, it seems like, sometimes. He's throwing these fiery darts at me. What about you? Do you go out into your workplace and do you have the devil trying to attack you? Right? Is he trying to devour you? Are you getting darts thrown at you? Listen here. He says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," the sword of the Spirit, "which is the Word of God." You got to have the Word of God. If you go out your door without the Word of God, that's foolishness. Right? If you neglect the Word of God, that's foolishness. He will devour you. He will destroy you. Do you want that to happen? No, we don't want that to happen. We need to live by God's Word. That's our only defense. to protect us from what's going on out there. Hey, we can fight the devil. We don't have to succumb to the devil. Oh, preacher, you just don't understand. No, we can fight back. Get in the Bible. I can talk to somebody and they'll tell me, hey, I'm going through this and this and this. And I ask them, hey, have you read your Bible today? Well, no, I haven't read my Bible. Well, have you read your Bible yesterday? No, I didn't read my Bible yesterday. Well, when is the last time you took the sword? Right? When is the last time you took the Word of God and fought the devil back? You can do that. You have the power to do that, but you got to get in the Word. It's right there in the Word. Remember, what did Jesus do? Right? We read the Bible all the time. We have example after example to live a victorious Christian life. But how many of you, how many of me, how many of us take Him up on the Word? Right? If you remember in Matthew chapter 4, the devil came to Jesus right after His high point. Right? Right after He was baptized. How many times does the devil come after you right after a high point? Last week, we had a great week here at the church. We had two little kids call on the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved. Got born again. But you know what? That old devil came right back and was attacking. Right? He is coming back. But what did Jesus do? He gave him Scripture. He had God's Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You got to get it. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Yay, that's what Jesus did. He fought the devil. He overcame temptation with the Word of God. That's our weapon. If you neglect your only weapon, that's foolishness, okay? We need to hide God's Word in our hearts, okay? In John 15:3, the Bible says, "Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you," right? Hey, we can trust the Scripture. We can trust God's Word. Right? We don't just trust Him for salvation. We can trust Him for everything in our life. We don't have to go out there and get on the internet and do research on all the religions out there. Okay? All we have to do is trust the Scripture. Trust the Word of God. That's all we need. You see, these Scriptures right here, the Word of God, it's a direct product of God. He gave us the Word of God. In 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You say, what does that mean? That means this. That means God used 40 men over 1,600 years to give us the book. He used men to write the book, yes. He used men that were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And those men that were filled with the Holy Spirit of God wrote down exactly what God had already had settled in heaven. Hey, the hand of that man had the Holy Spirit of God writing what God wanted written down in the book. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119:160, "Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever." What is my point? My point is you can trust the Scriptures. You can live by it. You can obey it. Every word of it, every word of God is powerful. Every word of God is quick. Every word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Every word of God pierces down even to the joints, right? The Word of God. Hey, you can trust the Word of God. Do not neglect the Word of God. Hey, let me give you a second thing here. Not only do we foolishly neglect the Word of God, but hey, we foolishly forsake the fellowship with God's people. Right? Foolishness. We foolishly forsake the fellowship with God's people. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Look there starting in verse number 24. Hebrews chapter number 10, look there in verse number 24. Hebrews 10:24. It says here in the Bible, "And let us consider one another." All right? Underline, "consider one another." "To provoke unto love and to good works." Verse 25, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, right here, but exhorting one another. Right? You can underline that. But exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You see, another foolish thing for you and I to do is to forsake the assembling of the fellowship of God's people. You see, a faithful Christian goes to church every time the doors are open. Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning, fellowship. Hey, why? Because we need to be a blessing to others. We need to exhort each other, right? We need to provoke one another unto love and good works, right? That's why we come to church. We don't come to church to take, take, take. We come to church to give, give, give. We need to be givers, okay? Gilead Baptist Church needs to be givers. But too many people come to church and they sit in the pew and they say, what am I going to get out of church today? What is the pastor going to do for me? What is the brethren going to do for me, right? That's selfish. But you are never going to get anything from God with that attitude. You'll always be offended. Because nobody will ever live up to your expectations. Right? The pastor will always let you down. Hey, do you believe that pastor didn't shake my hand? Do you believe what so-and-so didn't even look my way? Do you believe, sister, what she did to me? Right? You will never be satisfied because you're looking inward. Okay? What we need to do is look outward. Right? We need to look outward. We come to church not for ourselves, but for the brethren. To encourage one another. That's the reality of it, okay? It has nothing to do with you and I. We come to encourage one another, and if you're not here, you can't be an encouragement to one another. If you're not here, you cannot encourage the pastor. If you're not here, you cannot encourage the deacon. If you're not here, you cannot encourage. And let me just say, watching church online is not church, right? Watching church online is not church. Church, by definition, is an assembly. And so you must assemble for it to be a church. And when you assemble, you come together, what should you do? Exhort one another. Right? Shake hands. Fellowship. Encourage one another. In Luke chapter 24, in verses 52 and 53, it says, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple. Hey, these early Christians were continually in the temple worshiping. In Acts 2:46, it says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. You see that? They were worshiping every day. You say, preacher, coming to church 3 days a week is too much. Isn't it too much? I mean, we are 2025. There's so much more things we could be doing. But you see, you get our examples from the Bible. If we want to be a Bible church, a New Testament Bible church, we got to follow the New Testament. They were every day. They met every day. They couldn't get enough of it. And you know what happened? It changed their lives. Just read through the rest of the book of Acts. It changed their lives, right? And you know, God blessed them tremendously. Hey, when it becomes somewhat of a chore to come to church, you're not right with God. Don't do a foolish thing as to forsake the assembling and the fellowship of the brethren. Hey, let me give you a third thing here. We foolishly underestimate the ungodly world. Foolish things, right? Talking about foolish things. Number three here, we foolishly underestimate the ungodly world. In 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay? We cannot love the world and love God. Okay? In case you haven't noticed, the world is against God. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that you go out these doors and the world that we live in is against God? Everything we read about in God's world, in God's Word, is different than what they tell us on Fox News or CNN News or in the realities of life. But many Christians, we fail to realize the power and the influence of this ungodly world that's around us. Many of us, we assume that we can live in this world without being affected by it. We think we can walk the line and walk on the fence, and we can have a little bit of God, and we can have a little bit of the world, and we can just do as we please. But if you look in the Bible, that's not how it went. When people got saved, when people got born again, it changed their lives. You know, the disciples were out fishing, and Jesus says, "Come follow me." They left their nets. They left their boats. They left their livelihood. That was how they got paid. That was how they supported their family. They left it all behind, right, to follow Jesus, and it eventually would lead to them being martyred and put to death. But you see, I think of Job, right? I think of Job. He looked over at the plains and saw how plush and green and nice and how beautiful it looked. And you know, Job pitched his tent towards Sodom, and Sodom was a wicked place. And he first pitched his tent there at Sodom, and the next thing you know, he's living in Sodom. He's living in the wickedness. His family ends up getting destroyed in Sodom. Okay, he lost his whole family. Okay, we need to be careful not to let the pool of the world lure us away from God. There's an illustration about a frog. Okay, if you put a frog into boiling water, the frog will jump out immediately. But if you put a frog into some water and apply heat and slowly start to bring that water up to boil, that frog won't jump out. He'll just eventually be boiled to death. He'll just eventually die. Okay? He becomes comfortable with the water. And Christians, we become comfortable in that sin. And before you know it, we end up like Lot, and our whole family is destroyed. Right? We end up like worldliness, I want you to see here, begins in the heart. Right? The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's that heart, remember? That heart that the world says, follow your heart, go where your heart leads, trust your heart. But the Bible says contrary to that, okay? The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. And it also says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Alright? You say something, you're like, where'd that come from? Well, it's already in there. Right? It's already in there. If it comes out, it's already in the heart. Here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is we all have flesh, right? We all have flesh and blood. We all have, if you're saved here today and you've been born again, we have that old man. We have this flesh that desires, right? That world is able to desire through our flesh things that catch our attention. And this old flesh here, it desires to do those things of the old man. But now we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. Right? But many of us, we still want to please the flesh. We still want to do right in our own eyes. And we really just want to do what we want to do. We become selfish in our service. And many people get to the point and they'll say, well, I used to do this. I used to be active in the church. I used to go soul winning. I used to drive a bus. I used to do this, but now, hey, someone else can do those things. I put in my time. So let me tell you, the Bible doesn't give an age limit on service. Right? The Bible doesn't give an age limit on service. He wants you to serve Him until you take your last breath. And that's example after example in the Bible. Moses served Him to the day he died. Joshua served Him until the day he died. Peter served Him until the day he died. Paul served Him until the day he was martyred. They all did. Okay. Hey, in the Bible, I hate to burst your bubble, but in the Bible, there is no such thing as retirement. Right? There's not. It amazes me when I've met some people or some pastors and say, yeah, I'm a retired pastor. And I'm like, where's that at in the Bible? Right? There is no retirement in the Bible. They all serve the Lord until the Lord took them. Until that last moment, we need to be winning souls. Right? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Right? That's the call. There's a lost world out there. There's 8 billion people in the world today. Most are lost. More lost people now than ever. Dying one by one. Dropping off into eternity. What are we doing about it? We got to go tell them. So let me ask you a question. If I was to ask you, where are you today with your walk with the Lord? Where are you at today in your walk with the Lord? And here's the thing. Wherever you are as close to God today as you want to be. Think about it. You are as close to God today as you want to be. And that's the truth. The Bible says, draw nigh to Him and He will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Get close to God, right? But worldliness will keep you from God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10, Paul had a companion. His name was Demas. And for all of eternity, we're going to get to heaven and we're going to... This is what it says. In 2 Timothy 4:10, the Bible says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Right? We're going to get to heaven and we're going to meet Demas, right? And forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We're going to know Demas. Right? Now, why would you leave Paul? Why would you... All the world... Yeah, I regret that now. I regret leaving Paul and going and indulging in the world and everything. But hey, it's there forever. We're going to be forever reminded about that. But you know what? The sad thing is that's not anything new. Right? Ever since Demas, here we are today. That world is still alluring to us. Right? Pulling us. The Bible says, though, in 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Right? We're to come out. You got saved, you're to come out from the world, right? But to do that, we gotta make some changes in our life, right? We gotta get off of the Hollywood movies. We gotta get off of the Fox News. We gotta get off the CNN. We gotta get off the Twitter, the TikTok, the Facebook, all those things that, hey, you know what they do? They distract you and make you neglect the Word of God. That's what they do. They're time wasters designed by the devil to keep you out of God's Word. But hey, don't be foolish, right? Don't be foolish. Let me give you a fourth thing here. We foolishly fail to seek the Lord. We foolishly fail to seek the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, the Bible says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Hey, do you search? Do you seek for the Lord with all of your heart? Is there any part of you that you're holding back from God? Is there any part of you that you're saying, "No, you can have all of me, but I'm not giving up this. I'm not giving up this. I'm not giving up this. I'm not giving up my rock music. I'm not giving up my cigarettes. I'm not giving up whatever it is." What are you holding back? What are you holding back? Do you seek Him with all of your heart? Too many think that, hey, when things are going well, I'm good. I don't need to seek the Lord, right? When things are going great in my life, hey, I'm good. I don't need to seek the Lord. But the Bible warns us that not seeking the Lord is going to lead to destruction. Okay? If we're not seeking Him. He says in Jeremiah 5:21, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not." You see, if you've been here any amount of time, you've heard the Word of God preached. We've heard from God. We've heard what the Bible says. And He says here, "Have ears and hear not," right? We know that if you turn your ear from hearing God's law, even your prayer becomes abomination. Right? When you start picking and choosing what you want to believe about the Bible, you're going down a wrong path. You're going down a bad path, right? Like an avalanche. That snow starts coming down on that mountain. That's where you're at. When you start dissecting God's Word and picking and choosing, you are on a very, very unstable ground, okay? We need to be doers of the Word and not just hearers only. In James 1:22, He says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only." Why? Because He says, deceiving your own self. If we're not doers, if we just come in our seat, what's in it for me today, okay? Deceiving ourselves. We need to be doers of what we're doing, obeying God's Word. Hey, remember, we need to confess our sin. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we confess our sins. Get right with the Lord. Because in Isaiah 59:2, the Bible tells us, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." Hey, do you seek the Lord? Let me give you one more thing here today. Don't be foolish in seeking the Lord. You got to seek the Lord in all things. And lastly here, I want you to see that we foolishly reject Jesus Christ. Foolishly reject foolish, Jesus Christ. Don't be foolish in this aspect. If you're here today, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never trusted Him, you've never believed on the Lord as your Savior, hey, don't be foolish and reject Him here today. The Bible says this in Matthew 25:41, "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." In Matthew 22:13, the Bible says, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In Mark 9:44 says, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." We're talking about hell here. Hell is a real place. It is a real place of torment. It is a real place of darkness. It is a real place of separation from God for all of eternity. It is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, and the fire is not quenched. You know, I remember, you know, at 9/11, I remember watching 9/11 when it unfolded on the TV screen, and they're going through the interviews there, and we're watching the interview right there with the towers in the back, and all of a sudden you start hearing that. And they look around, what is that? Right? It's those people that were jumping out of the fire, out of that building, because the flames were so hot, and I wasn't saved then. But now I think back to that, and I think, and those people are jumping out of that building because those flames are so hot, and that fire is so extreme, and they're jumping to their death, and they're literally waking up in hell if they've never been born again. The foolish things we do, they woke up, but they rejected Jesus Christ, and now they're in a place where there's no escape. They're in a place where there's no reprieve. They're in a place where there is no time out. It's an eternal place. In Luke chapter 16, we hear the account of the rich man that died. And in verse 22 says that the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifts up his eyes, being in torment. You see, he didn't go to a place of purgatory because there is no place of purgatory. He didn't go to the ground and cease to be because, you see, saved or lost, heaven or hell, we close our eyes here and we go to our eternal abode, right? It's heaven if you've trusted Jesus Christ. It's the lake of fire ultimately cast into hell and eternal torment for those who've never trusted Jesus Christ. In Revelation 20:14-15, the Bible says, "And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Let me tell you this. The most foolish thing you can do is to reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. I think about the airplane crash that just happened. Now we have two of them. They just happened. Those people on that crash, hey, they didn't wake up that day thinking they were going to go into eternity. They didn't wake up that day thinking this was going to be the end. But you know what? One day that's going to be us. One day we're all going to go out into eternity. We're not going to wake up and think this is our last day. Today could be our last day. We do not know it. But you see, if you reject Jesus Christ, if you're foolish and you reject Him, you end up going to a place that God did not intend you to go to. He prepared that place for the devil and his angels, but sadly, because of sin and because of all of that happened, those that reject Jesus Christ must ultimately go to this place. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. God loves them. God loves you. He loves everybody. Right? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there's only one way to heaven. There's not many ways. There's not all roads. There's not all religions. There's one way. And Jesus said this. In John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is it. You got to come through Jesus Christ. You could be here today and you say, "I believe in God." Let me tell you can believe in God and still die and go to hell. You got to have Jesus Christ. He is the only way you will get to heaven. There is only one gospel, Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel. He died for the sins of everybody. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And the Bible says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. He did it all for you. Why? Because you're a sinner. We're all a sinner. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But God loves you. And He wants you to come to heaven. But you've got to make that choice there in John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Let me tell you, many people out there believe on many things. Many things don't take you to heaven. Jesus Christ takes you to heaven. I was 38 years old thinking I was good enough on my own. I was thinking I could get to heaven because I never murdered anybody. I never robbed a bank. I could get to heaven on my own. But the Bible says different. You got to be born again. You got to receive Him as your Savior. Hey, have you received Him as your Savior? Don't be foolish in this matter. You come to Jesus Christ today, He will save you. He will give you eternal life, never perish, everlasting life with Him in heaven. But hey, let me ask you this. Christian, how close are you to the Lord? How close are you to the Lord? That's a choice you get to make. I can't make it for you. Only you can make that choice. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Hey, let me ask you, is it a burden to come to church? Is it a burden to come to fellowship? Is it a burden to assemble? Hey, we all do some pretty foolish things in life. But do not live a life of foolishness. And I'll end with this here. Our text in 1 Peter 2:15 says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Let's pray.